Okay, welcome to Wisdom and Torah, and I'm really glad that you all came with us here. We are in Tel Dan. We are in the place behind me where the altar of Jeroboam, when they change. I always tell people when I come here that my demeanor always changes when I come here. I remember coming here in 2004 by myself, and I spent 3 hours here, and the first hour I spent right there weeping, because I wanted to come to the place where I understood was the reason why we are in the dispersion. You know, many people in America argue about whether two house, one house, or whatever, and it's irrelevant. It's unfortunate, because if you don't understand why the kingdom was divided, it's all about the kingdom being divided. And the reason why I take you here first, and we spend the most time, Lord, take these people away, please. Grab them by their necks. Because of the influence of who they worship and the influence of the pagan people around the nations, we became defiled. And the reason why now you have to catch a plane to come here is because we have suffered the rebellion, the guilty of rebellion to the great king for what happened in this place. How do you know if this is an altar to the Lord or not? Because that the steps leading to the altar, you're not supposed to have steps leading to the altar. You're supposed to have a ramp. That's how you know the difference between a ramp to the Lord and a ramp, an altar of God and an altar to the pagan gods. And you know, the reason why I start here to kick off the tour, let me give you an idea. We believe that we are spying out for the land. I believe that this is the reason why we're here is not to take pictures, really. That's part of the whole thing. It's not to take pictures. It's to have a greater understanding of the relationship between you and the Creator. Okay? And it's to know why do we need to be in this place is because we need to go back to the root of what led us away. So what we can recognize our sins, so that we may recognize that we are guilty of transgression of the commandment. And that's why I am so adamant about returning to the ancient path, returning to the Torah. Thank you, Father. Take them away. Thank you so much. In Leviticus chapters 26, we see the penalty of disobedience. We see the penalty of disobedience to the Torah. But you know, the Bible tells us specifically that things will happen in this land. And I'm going to read it to you. What is the punishment of disobedience? Bear with me. Because this to me is the most important teaching in my whole tour. I prepared myself, my heart, all year to come here. Why? I bring you to the land. I don't bring you. The Lord brings you to the land of Israel. He chose me and gave me the privilege to be leading you through the land. Not to tell you what you want to hear, because this land is not our land. This land is the king's land. And he brought you as a guest. Keeps you safe. Hosts you. He feeds you. He gives you water to drink. He reveals to you how wonderful he is and how much he's making the land blossom even after we disobey the Torah. All the evidence have been on earth. People said they didn't believe it. The Davidic kingdom existed. There it is. They said the temple did not exist. There it is. I mean, how much more proof do we need? And why is it that the world does not believe there's a God? Because we are guilty of not walking in the commandments of the Torah. So therefore now we are making the name of our God to be put to shame. And to be a mockery among the nations. Because we're not standing on the principles. So in order for you to know what does he require of you, we need to come to the place of where everything happened. Not only here, but also Judah. King Manasseh, King Manasseh, he built an Asherah, a tree. They built Asherahs, trees, and he put them next to the altar in the temple. He put idols in the inner court and the outer court, in the two courts. Idols in the temple of the Lord. This is the king of Judah, a chosen possession from the king of the heavens and the earth. So let me read you what it says right here in Leviticus chapter 26. Beginning in verses 14, all the way to verse 46. But I want you to focus towards the end. The mercy, the wonderful mercy and grace of the king. Even though he knows we don't deserve mercy, still he keeps his promises and his word that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he has mercy on us. And remind you, he chose you to return to the land, not when you had everything figured out, not when you had all vocabulary done, not when you knew all the Torah, not when you know all the Hebrew. He brought you still in your defilement. I am so happy to be here because I have my two boys with me. Very meaningful day for me. Because I want my boys not to let ever happen to our family what happened to us. To forget where everything started. That they will teach their children to honor, to uphold, to praise, to worship the King of the universe and to be faithful to the King of this land. That they make up their minds today and forever that they will follow the Lord. It says, but if you will not listen to me and will not do all these commandments, if you spurn my statutes and if you so abhors my rules, that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, then I will do this to you. Remember, covenant language, everybody says in Mount Sinai, everything that the Lord said, we will obey and do. When Joshua was about to die, they renewed their covenant and they said, everything that the Lord says, we will obey and do. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, they say, everything you say, we will obey and do. That is a conditional covenant of obedience. We did not do our part. So now we're guilty of transgressing of the covenant. Remember what it says, His covenant. His covenant. The God of creation decided to come in covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then in the book of Deuteronomy, in the Parashat Nitzavim, it says that not with you alone do I make this covenant and this oath, but those who are here with us today and those who are not here with us today, that is you. He was already seen in the future. I'm going to allow this covenant to be open to all the nations. All you need to do is obey, to submit to me, to give your heart to me, and just love me. Be loyal to my commandments, and I'll do everything else. I'll give you the oil. I'll give you the land. I'll give you all the prosperity. I'll bless the fruit of your womb. I do all you have to do is keep my commandments. But now we have to have a theological debate. Why? We need to keep the commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, Sabbath is Sabbath. It's not that difficult. It really isn't. Let's be real. It's really not that difficult. Okay? We need to understand that either we choose Yahweh or get out of the boat. No time to compromise anymore. You do it God's way or don't do it at all. We don't need people who are half-hearted. Because when things get difficult, your faith will be tested. And you don't want to fail the test because you will die in the wilderness. He will promise to be our shield and our protector. Okay, and listen to what it says. Then I will do this to you. I will visit you with panic and wasting disease and fever that consume the eyes and make the heart ache. And you shall sow your seed in vain and your enemies shall eat it. And I'll set my face against you and you shall be struck down before your enemies. Those who hate you shall rule over you and you shall flee when none pursues you. If in spite of this you will not listen to me, then I will discipline you again sevenfold for your sins and I will break the pride of your power and I will make your heavens like iron and the earth like bronze and your earth and the strength shall be spent in vain and your land shall not yield the increase and the trees and the land shall not yield its fruit. And if you walk contrary to me and will not listen to me, I will continue to strike in you sevenfold for your sins and will let loose the wild beast against you, which shall be raved you and your children and destroy your livestock. Oh my God, what a mean God. Oh wow, how dare he do all that? Isn't he a God of love? Yes, if you obey his commandments. To those who love me and keep my commandments, I'll make covenant to 1,000 generations. But those who hate me, who are not loyal, to the third and the fourth generation. Why is it unfair that the Creator of heaven and earth chooses to be in covenant with us, mere mortals, and all He requires is obedience and He'll do the rest, and it's unfair for Him to bring judgments because we broke the covenant? But then when you have children and they willfully disobey you, it's not unfair for you to discipline them? It's okay for you to discipline your kids because they disobey you, but we are the sons of the living God and He cannot discipline us? Now we have to question his motives. How dare us question their great king? He's the king and we're the servants. We should just be in awe of the king that he allows us to be in his presence. And my people did this. They turned away from our king. I'm going to move on. Verse 34. Listen to the hope. It says, then the land shall enjoy its Sabbath as long as it lies desolate. And you shall be, and that you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbath. As long as it lies desolate, you shall have rest. The rest that it did not have on your Sabbath when you were dwelling in it. 490 years, they did not keep the laws of the Shemitah. the rest of the land. 7 years, rest of the land. Did you know why Sabbath is so important? Seventh day of creation, the Lord rested, right? Basically, that's the seal of creation, letting the whole world know that the one who created the heavens and the earth is the one who rested on the seventh day. So if you're in covenant with the creator of heaven and earth, then he reminds the children of Israel, Mount Sinai, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And he quotes you, Deuteronomy, and then Genesis. Why did he give the Sabbath to Israel and not the rest of the nations? Because if he came in covenant with you, when you keep the Sabbath, you're not keeping a tradition that the Jewish people do. The Jewish people keep the Sabbath because it's commanded, right? You keep the Sabbath because by you observing it, separating it, becoming holy unto the Lord, you just bear witness that you serve the Creator of heaven and earth. Is that making sense? So when you keep it holy, you're not trying to be Jewish. You just recognize that the God you serve is the one who created the heavens and the earth in Genesis. Now you become a living witness. Every week you say, I serve the God of creation. I don't serve the God of those pagans that were just here. I don't serve the God of the other religions. Because guess what? The sign of the covenant is a specific day. You become the living witnesses of this God on the earth. And that's why every enemy of the Lord wants to do what? Kill the people, destroy the land, destroy the temple, destroy the book. It's a covenant. You destroy the book, there's no witness of a what? The statues. You destroy the people, they're the witnesses of the covenant. You destroy the house of the temple, you destroy the dwelling place of the king. You destroy the land, there's no longer evidence that they existed. And here we are. And you drove all the way through here, and we're going to be tasting wine from pomegranates that the Lord gave this land after we returned to this land. Why would he be so faithful to us when we don't deserve mercy? Why should he? Does he owe us anything? No, but you see, in Genesis 15, there were animals that were cut in half. And you see, the Lord walked between the pieces. You get it? And you notice Abraham was sleeping in a corner over there. That makes it an unconditional grant covenant of the land. In other words, the Lord swore by his great name, and he rose up his right arm saying, I will give this land to Abraham. And in the ancient world, a king could not take away the gift he gave his servant. He can bring judgment to the servant for breaking the covenant, but he is not allowed by law to take the gift away from him. And our father still kept his word, and he gave the gift to Israel when we were in disobedience. He gave the gift to my brother Judah when they were in the dispersion. And only less than 5%, 10% came back to the land. Did you realize? Why is it that all the Jews of the world do not abandon their domains in America, in Australia, in Europe? Imagine the brain drain in the world if all the doctors, all the lawyers, all the bankers, everybody packs and leaves and come to Israel. What would happen? The center of the world, but chaos in this land. Because they bring all the attitudes from the pagan practices. But do you realize that if this is the gift of our king and we refuse to accept it by returning to it, that's an affront to the king. So guess what he needs to do? Bring tribulation to move the children of Israel, because the longer we are out there, then the world will not recognize that the God in this land is true and he keeps his word. That's why I'm so desperately want to be in this land. Because walking in it, I'm declaring his authority. Keeping his commandments, I'm declaring his sovereignty. Is this making sense to you? Just a little bit zealous about this. Because I don't know why he chose us. I just don't get it. I know I don't deserve mercy. I mean, all of you went through all kinds of chaos through the airplanes and the hurricanes and us to be here. Why? Why would you make such an effort? You don't speak the Hebrew. They don't recognize you as anything important. If you talk to the ultra-Orthodox, they think you're just pigs. And that's the reality. The ultra-Orthodox, they don't care. So why should you? Because something within you has awakened. Something within you has this attraction to this land that you cannot understand. Maybe you don't walk in perfect obedience. He doesn't require perfect obedience for you to walk in his ways. He wants your willingness to obey, and he'll teach you along the way. But if we are always going to take what we think we know and try to argue with the king about what you think he says, then you're never going to be a partaker of his blessings. And I'm tired of fighting, trying to identify the Bible according to my understanding. I gave up. I surrendered. I said, I no longer want to be right. I just want to serve you. If it means sacrificing everything, so be it. My family knows it. They made me choose between them and Yahweh, they lose. I made my mom choose. You made me choose between you and Yahweh, you lose. I made my father choose. You chose. Are you sure, Dad, that the Torah is not for you? Are you sure, Dad, that you don't want to follow the commandments? He just didn't know. And he says, well, that's done away with. That's under the law, whatever. So I stand as a witness against you, Dad, that you say the heart of God is no longer for you. And I will testify against you. Am I better than you because I said that? No, it's just that I'm grateful. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes because I know I don't deserve to be here. So look into the mercy of my King. 36. And for those that are left, I will send famine into their hearts in the land of their enemies. The sound of the driven leaf shall be put to flight. And they shall flee as one flees from the sword. And they shall fall when none pursues. And they shall stumble over one another if one escapes the sword through one pursues. Though you shall no power to stand before your enemies. And you shall perish among the nations. And the land of your enemies shall eat you up. All those that who are left shall not rot away in your enemies' land because of their iniquity. And also because of the iniquities of their fathers, they shall not rot away like them. But this is the hope. And that's what drives me. This what's coming up is what drives me. It says, but if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, what they did here, shalom. If they confess the iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I bring you here is because we're spying out the land. He brings you on eagle's wings. Then we come to the place of what? Of repentance. This is the place of repentance. I'm taking you to the root. Do you know that Hillel told me that hardly any tourists want to come this far in? He's been doing this like over 40 years, and hardly anybody want to come this far. I know Hebrew, I know Christian tourists because I've been in one. They spend 5 minutes outside, but then they spend 2 hours shopping. They would not care to be here and learn. They want to take pictures, go shopping, and everything's okay because you live by grace. Really? And they miss the opportunity to start from scratch. To come, the Father brought them to the place to have their hearts completely regather in repentance. And no, we want to stay outside. We don't want to walk around. It's too hot. Let's go shopping. It broke my heart. And that's when I told my wife, you know, if I ever get the opportunity to go to Israel and take tours, I give my word to my King. I will teach him his commandments. And I'm not going to compromise it when I'm here for nobody. Because my people compromise it here. This is an abomination. Raising up sacrifices to Anat, the wife and daughter of Baal, bringing sacrifices to Asherah. That's why you have a tree next to it. Okay? They put trees next to the altars. That's not there by coincidence. That's an old tree. I can't say it's the same one from back then. I can't say, but there will be put a trees around here. They will worship Astarte, which is Easter. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you agree with us or not, Easter is the fertility goddess. It's an ancient Canaanite. It's an ancient Ugaritic goddess, ancient Mesopotamian goddess, ancient Egyptian goddess. Why can't we get the picture? I mean, I don't know if I'm stupid or something. I don't even know how to do things. But when was the last time that a rabbit put eggs? Maybe I'm naive. I don't get it. But when I see that, I got churches when I drive by, they have pumpkins, and they're celebrating Halloween. No. Holy wind now. How can you try to make something profane holy? You can't do that. Draw the line in the sand and decide what God you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, I will follow Yahweh. Do I do that in arrogance? No, because it says right here, look, I'll take you to the place. Look what it says. But if they confess the iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in the treachery that they committed against me and also walk contrary to me so that I walk contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised heart is humbled and they make amends for their iniquities, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob. I will remember my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. Notice, what's the problem with those verses? It doesn't say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. It's the only place in the Torah where you find it backwards. And then he says, I will remember my covenant and I remember the land. You know why he has to remember the land? Because he swore by his great name and he gave his word to Abraham that I will give this land to your children. Ladies and gentlemen, when Israel returned in 1948, that should have been the most vindicating event in the whole world. The whole world should have recognized that Israel and the God of Israel was the one true God. But what did Judah do? And what did the Jews do? They refused to return to the gift of the king. Complete restoration. Maybe the Messianic age would have started by that moment. But they didn't do it. So now we need tribulation again. And it says, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, with Isaac, and with Abraham, and I will remember the land, but the land shall be abandoned by them, and enjoy a Sabbath, and while it lies desolate without them, and they shall make amends of their iniquity, because they spurned my rulings, they rejected my rulings, and their soul abhorred my statutes. I mean, I remember reading in the Talmud and reading in some of the historical books that there were priests who refused, they will reverse their circumcisions so they can worship the gods of the Greeks. That's crazy. Ouch. That's really wanting to be a pagan. Women can relate with that. You know? And then it says, yet for all that, verse 44, listen to this. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not spurn them. I will not reject them. Neither will I abhor them so as to destroy them utterly and break my covenant with them. This is what got me. See, we break the covenant with him, but he is not going to break the covenant with us. Oh my God, how much hope is that? You know? He's not. He's going to remember. He says, and destroy them utterly and break my covenant with them, for I am Yahweh Elohim. But I will, for their sake, remember the covenant of their forefathers, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, and I may be their God, and I am Yahweh. These are the statutes, the rules and laws that the Lord made between himself and the people of Israel through Moses on Mount Sinai. Let me tell you what happened here. It's devastating. I'm going to start with Solomon, the greatest king in the history other than David. And listen to what one of the most wisest men in the world did. It says, and behold, the man of God, whoops. Where are you? I'll tell you right now. I'm in chapters 11 of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 11. Now we're going to get into really what I want to get into and how the northern kingdom change everything. They change everything. You know, sometimes we, and I got to tell you, sometimes we blame, for example, the Protestants and the Catholic Church. And we say, well, the Catholic changed Saturday to Sunday, which they have. And they have, I have the over 28 quotes from archbishops and even popes saying that they themselves have the power to change the day from Saturday to Sunday. There's no biblical evidence that says that we have the right to do that. But the Holy Roman Catholic had the right to do it. So therefore we have. And that's a historical fact. Google it. Prove me wrong. Don't believe anything I say. That's the way it is. It's the truth. The feast, the same thing. But you see, it's not the Catholics' fault. It's Israel's fault. Because Israel actually were the ones, even from the river, even when they crossed the Red Sea, when they went into the Mount Sinai, Moses goes up to the mountain, he delays in his return, the people miscalculate the return of the Redeemer, and they worship the golden calf. When Yeshua doesn't show up, when they think he will, whether there's a pre-trip or mid-trip or post-trip tribulation. But if you believe in the pre-trip, go ahead. I don't believe in it. I'll see you 7 years later. No problem. No need to argue about it. We're just going to wait and see. But what if he doesn't show up when we think he needs to show up? What's going to happen to the deception of the people? And where is your heart going to be? Think about that. So listen to what Solomon does. The greatest king. Wise. He had a dream. From the Father, twice, told him how great he was going to be. Wisest man on earth. Now the King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughters of Pharaoh. Listen to this. The Moabite, the Ammonite, the Edomite, Sidonians, the Hittite women. The Moabites used to worship this the god of Marduk, Moloch. They used to do child sacrifices. The Ammonites used to worship Anat, and they used to also worship Baal, Baal. The Edomites, they did abomination. The Sidonians, they used to worship in the Phoenician, they used to worship the same thing, different names. Says, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn you away from your heart with all their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. I mean, I never really read that until today. That's why I'm reading it. Solomon clung to them in love, loyalty to those gods. What an abomination. Solomon, the king of Israel, appointed by the Father. Okay? But remember that Yahweh says, my mercy shall never depart from you. The Father gave him his word, my mercy shall not depart from you, and his mercy did not depart from you. And we know Solomon repented later. But how long are we going to wait until he loses patience with us? How much does he have to prove to you? You know why I want to bring you here all the time, and I mentioned it three times? I'm trying to create an expectation from you. Are you doing okay? Because now you do repentance here. Make sure you leave here with a repentant heart. Because then on Sunday morning, we're going to do a mikvah, immersion. And in the ancient world, immersion, it was a legal kind of term, like I said last night, you know, of adoption. When you come out of the water as a new creature, now you repented, now you are sanctified. He made you yours. Then we're going to go to the Dead Sea. Why do I go to the Dead Sea? Because of salt covenant. Salt, you cannot bring a sacrifice to the altar without salt. So I'm going to let you enjoy yourself in the river, in the Dead Sea. Get salt all over. Take away all the impurities. So now you take away the idols from your hearts. Here, you repent. Then the ritual immersion, which is coming out of the womb like a new creature. Then you're going to present yourself before the Lord in Jerusalem. But before you do, I want to make sure that you are salted in covenant. And then I'm going to teach you pray. And then we're going to try to receive Shabbat and go to the wall on the Mount of Olives and go to the wall on the Temple Mount. So now I hope and I pray that I do a good enough job, and I pray that you stay up all night, that the Father searches your heart, that keep you away, that if I'm wrong, I'll repent and I will change. But I pray that you check your heart so when you go up to Jerusalem, you're ready to meet your Maker. Don't let it go to waste. Don't let this day go to waste. I want you to be salted, because now you become a living sacrifice. Is that making sense to you? That's why I bring you here, so that we can repent from our sins. So let me continue reading. And it says, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Adonai, his Elohim, Adonai, his master. But was the heart of David as the heart of David was his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth. Astarte. Easter. Easter is nothing new. One of the greatest kings of Israel worshiped Easter, fertility goddess. Do you know in the ancient world in Canaan was one of the main gods of Canaanites? The fertility goddess Ishtar or Astarte was not only the fertility goddess, but also the goddess of productivity. Baal was the god of power and manipulation and control. So therefore now, they believe that you can gain power by worshiping Baal. That's what they try to do here. And they can gain prosperity and fertility by worshiping Astarte or Ishtar. And then the Lord says in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, for I am he who gives you the power to gain wealth. He is trying to let Israel know that it's not through the worship of Baal that you're going to gain power and control. It's not the worship of Astarte that you're going to get prosperity. I am the one who will do that for you. I am your God. I am your Redeemer. Every prosperity teacher uses those verses to take your money, when in fact that has nothing to do with the context. It's all about bringing your heart in holiness to the Lord and be separate. Did you know the word holiness in the ancient world of the ancient Near East? They have temple prostitutes. They have temple prostitutes. And the prostitutes will spend, they were priests, priestesses. And they will go sleep with every man, and the money they will make, they will offer to their gods. That's why you have a commandment in the book of Deuteronomy that says that in the temple you are not allowed to bring the hire of a prostitute. God says, when you worship me, you don't do it like the Canaanites. You don't do it like the Hittites. You don't do it like the Ugaritic people. You do it the way I said so. Be holy, for I am holy. Don't you see that all over the Bible? Did you know that in the ancient world, those prostitutes, you know what they were called? Holy ones. Yeah, they were holy to their God. that were separated to their God. So the word holy in the ancient world was not a word that we loosely throw out. Be holy, for I am holy. The word holy in the ancient world represented you are being separated towards the God you serve. So you are holy to that God. So I'm going to come out and say it. If you keep Easter and you keep Christmas and you keep Sunday, to what God are you serving? You don't find any of those observances in the Bible anywhere. Find me a verse that says Yeshua kept kept Sunday, that Yeshua kept Easter, that Yeshua kept Christmas. By the way, you know why it's not good to keep a Christmas tree in your house? Straight up. That tree is an abomination because it's next to an altar. In the temple, there was not allowed to have any trees in the altar. Why? It's a commandment. Because in the ancient world, if you come in covenant with someone, you plant a tree as a witness of that covenant. So unknowingly, you didn't know, we didn't know, we love the smell, ooh, pine tree, and we love to decorate it, and we love to do that a long time ago. I had no idea that when my mom and my dad were putting a Christmas tree for the 25th of December, I was coming in covenant with the God of the sun god of ancient Babylonian mythology. No idea. By the way, Christmas was illegal in the early ages of America. That's the reality. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm trying to give you information so you can verify it. You want to be holy to the Lord? Then do what the Lord says. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not here for that. But if I don't tell you the truth, then I'm continuing to perpetrate the fraud of religion. I don't have a religion. I have a lifestyle with my Creator. And I'm guilty of sin. And I'm guilty of transgression. And I am guilty of rebellion. And I'm guilty of idolatry. And that breaks my heart. I'm a descendant of the Levites from Spain. I can't come home because we have been what? We rejected the Torah many centuries ago in Spain, and we converted. They can make the Jew convert to Catholicism. That's the truth. That's the way it was. Now I'm paying the price, and I really want to follow Torah, and I want to bring people to the land. But you know, when I talk to the Orthodox, they don't care because they want me to do it their way. I'm not here. If I didn't want to do it the Christian way, why would I want to do it to another religion? I want to do it God's way. But that doesn't mean that I don't love my brother Judah. That doesn't mean I don't love my brother Christians. We just got to find a way to communicate so we can bring the message of restoration. You know, I'm not trying to bash anybody today or call you any names. But green is green, black is black, and white is white. We don't need to be compromising anymore. We live in a country in America that every politician, every other word is compromise. Then we wonder how come we compromise. Starts from the leadership all the way down. Are you going to compromise today? The Father provided for you to be here. Are we still doing okay? You know? So let's go now to Jeroboam. Chapters 12, verse 25. Let me tell you what happened here. Taxes divided the kingdom. Taxes divided the kingdom. Okay? Rehoboam, the son of David, he wanted to input higher taxes on the people. Jeroboam says, we're not going to follow you. Okay? Listen to what Jeroboam. This is a king that the Lord told him. If you listen to me, I will establish your kingdom. The Lord told him in chapters 11 and 12. He says, if you follow me, I will raise you up. I will establish you as a kingdom. And he decided to do the opposite. Listen to what this guy did. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there, which, by the way, I will take you there too. And he went down from there and built Penuel, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David. If this people will go up to do sacrifice in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, then the heart of his people will turn again to the Lord, to their Lord, and then Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, the king of Judah. So that the king took counsel and made two calves. Two golden calves. Golden calf system. He said, you have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your God. It's exactly what happened in Mount Sinai. Okay? O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Now Jeroboam is telling the children of Israel that it was the golden calf who brought them out. You know how significant that is? You know why we are been in dispersion for 2,700 years? Because King Jehu of the northern kingdom bowed down to the king of Assyria right across the border. Bowed down to him and accepted him as his king, paid tribute to him and even kissed his feet. And you know what happens? The king of Assyria used to worship a god named Ashur. and the God assured they believe was the creator of heaven and earth. The moment King Jehu of the northern kingdom bowed down to the king of Assyria, he just rejected the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now imminent death will come. It's all about covenant. This is no joke. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. This is no joke. Covenant has changed my life understanding this. Listen to what it says. Verse 30. Then this thing became a sin for the people when as far as Dan, right here, and before to be before one, he also made two temples on high places, made temples on high places, and appointed priests among all the people that were not the Levites. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the fifth day, on the eighth month, on the 15th day of the eighth month, like the feast that was in Judah. And he offered sacrifice on the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel a priest of the high places that he made. He went up to the altar that he made in Bethel on the 15th day of the eighth month. So what did he do? Yahweh says, I want you to meet with me on the seventh day, on the seventh month, on the 15th day of the month. That's my feast. Jeroboam says, I will do what I want. I'm going to do the golden calf. The golden calf became his god. And now the priests go back down there. I'll pick whoever I want. Sounds a lot like the denominational world. Change the feast, change the Sabbath. They pick whatever they want to be pastors. They all have fivefold ministries. They don't recognize the authority of the king. And then we wonder why we have chaos in the church. That everybody says, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. We have chaos in Judaism. I know people that want to get out of Judaism. Because they're being choked out by the system and the religion and the dogma. Are we willing to change what is holy again? Haven't we not learned the lessons from our forefathers? Are our hearts an altar to other gods? Because now we don't have a literal altar, but now says Paul in Romans, is that I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to challenge you a little bit more. Was a pig ever accepted on the altar in Jerusalem? Do we think that we're holy to the Lord? Do we consider ourselves that we want to be holy to the Lord? I'm not trying to ruin your eating habits. People mess with their stomach, man. I'm telling you, people get all bent out of shape. But don't tell me that we are now the Holy Spirit, the presence of God and the Spirit of God is within us, which I agree that we are now sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We are sealed. But would you agree with me? And I need your help on this one. Would you agree with me that the presence of God cannot live in a defiled temple? Would you agree with that? Okay. Would you agree with me that you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you agree that your heart becomes the altar, that you'd become a living sacrifice? Do you eat pig?
No.
So some people do. So how can it be possible that you say, oh, I want to be holy, separated to the Lord. Your Lord says, don't eat that. And now you want to go and have all the bacon you want to eat all the time because you live by grace and everything's okay. I didn't realize that Yeshua died to change the commandments. Because if he died to change the commandments, he is not the Messiah, and I will reject him tomorrow if he changed the commandments. Right. You don't understand. This is very important. Every time a Jewish person sees a Christian brother come to Jerusalem and they see him eat pork, they say, well, he's not keeping covenant. He's not trying to judge you. They watch you. They don't keep the Sabbath. Because to a Jew, it's not how much you say you love God, it's which commandments you keep. It's more like a concrete thing. You know what I mean? Is this making... Are you hearing my heart? Please, I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm not trying to be arrogant. God forbid. I'm not going to take you to the place where idolatry was introduced into the northern kingdom to just lie to you and just tickle your ear and tell you everything's going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. If we do not repent, if we don't change our minds, if we don't repent from our wicked ways, and we don't change our mind, our walk, and we submit to Him, it's going to get worse for the whole world. God is about to bring forth His judgment. Amen? All right. So therefore now, I choose to repent. If I'm a leader like they say I am because I'm a teacher of the Torah, I'm not that important. This is my role. I just want to do the best that I know how for my King. I don't want to be in the presence of my King. Can you imagine Yeshua coming? And then all of a sudden now we're in the presence of the King. We are vindicated, my brother. We never seen Him. We never heard His voice. And there He is. We don't even know how to talk to Him. This is the way I used to pray. In the name of Jesus, I claim and I demand by now, by the blood of Jesus, that you give me, give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. That's the way I used to pray. That's the way I used to pray. Let me ask you a question. Who do we think we are claiming and demanding anything from the great King of the universe, our Father, the universe, our Father, when you will not tolerate your children demanding or claiming anything from you if they do not obey your commandments in your home? Who do we think we are? How long are we going to continue to go in our own direction? The biggest problem with Israel, well, they decided to go according to the imaginations of their own hearts. I make a declaration today. I don't know whom you choose you're going to follow. It may be too difficult for you. But as for me and my house, I will follow Yahweh. And today and forever, I'm going to draw the line in the sand and I say, I will follow my King. People don't want to talk to me anymore, don't matter. I know people rejecting Yeshua now. I know people don't even want to talk to me because I believe two house, one house, three house. If I say Yahuwah, if I say Yahweh, Yehovah, people don't want to talk to me anymore. If I keep the lunar or if I keep the rabbinical, people don't want to talk to me anymore. In the meantime, our Messiah is about to come. We don't even know how to pray. We don't even know how to come before the presence of the Father. We don't even know how to humbly serve Him in the most little bitty things. Do you think I have time to be bashing all the teachers or to be going out telling everybody they're wrong when in fact my job is to follow the cloud and to lead the kingdom to the promised land? As far as I'm alive, as long as I live, I commit myself. And if God gives me the opportunity, I will do my best to bring him to the place of the Torah and to teach him the commandments. And I pray and I hope that when I'm in the kingdom, he will see me and he will know me by name. And he at least will say, thank you for doing my best, for doing your best to teach my kingdom how to honor my Father. We need to humble our hearts. Please don't go to Jerusalem with issues. Leave them here. Along the way, leave them here. When you get to Jerusalem, just bring your heart, bring your mind. If you don't agree with me because of theology, it's not important. Don't worry about it. Enjoy the land because I guarantee you that you may not get it now, but in a year from now, you'll get it. I've seen it. I repent, for I transgress. And I no longer want to go the way of my forefathers. I choose to return and give my back to the world, and I will follow the God of Israel. I will keep his covenant. You must stand on his promises. You must believe in his word. You must support the people on the land and believe in this land. If I could fight for this land, I would. You must. I don't care what you learn anything this whole 2 weeks. I want you to learn one thing. Be loyal to the King of the universe. And if you dare to believe in the God that I believe in, I will guarantee you he will show himself mighty in your life. That's how much I believe in him. My Father, my King, my shield, and my strength. We praise you. We honor you. We repent. We return to you, O my King. We humbly ask you. We do not claim, we do not demand. We are humbly presenting ourselves before you as people in the dispersion with defilement, with attitudes, with dogma, with ideas. We want to continue in the imaginations of our hearts and we want to continue to determine what is true and what is not. But I, for me and my house, I want to follow you. We will surrender to you. We will come humbly before you. Teach us your way, O Lord. Teach us your path and your righteousness and lead us back to the understanding of your will. Open our hearts to your Torah, and then our hearts, our souls will pursue your commandments, our Elohim. Teach us how to humble ourselves, O my King. For they used to worship Anat in this place. They used to worship the fake gods Baal. I renounce all those gods, and I choose to come back to you. I pray, and I humbly ask you, not because I'm righteous, not because I'm special, but I'm humbly going to ask you to remember the covenant with Abraham. Remember the covenant with Isaac. Remember the covenant with Jacob. Remember, O my Elohim, that you promised. And I believe in your word. I trust in your word. Open our hearts, O Lord, that we may come before you. For we have sinned. We have transgressed. We have betrayed. We have done wickedness. We have done abominations. We have rebelled against you. We've turned the other way. We turn our backs to you. And for what? for no avail. But yet you still love us with everlasting love. You still promise restoration. You still promise renovation of our minds, renewing of our souls, restoring our minds and our relationship with you. But my question is to you, why do you have so much mercy on us? Why do you still pursue us? Why have you called us out of the nations of the earth to come visit with you today? I humbly ask you to prepare our hearts to enter in my soul. And please circumcise my heart. Change the stony heart and put a fleshly heart, O Elohim. It starts with us. I repent. I recognize my iniquity. I recognize my transgression against you. I recognize that we are all guilty. We don't deserve mercy. But I want to thank you. I want to exalt you. I want to praise you. I want to adore you. I want to bow down to you, my Maker, for sending your Son Yeshua to renew us into your covenant, to adapt us into your kingdom, to give us the Spirit as a sign of the covenant, to give us, oh Lord, a new name, to give us new restoration, my Elohim. Please, my King, I humbly ask you to consider the matter, to act, not because of our namesake, but remember what you did for Abraham, my King. We are humbling the place where the dispersion first occurred in the northern kingdom. We return to the place of our iniquity. We return to a place of our abomination. And here we declare that we reject this abomination. And we just humbly ask you, as a servant to the King, as a son to the Father, to consider the matter, for we deserve death. Consider the matter and incline your ear one more time and have mercy on us. And please extend your right arm one more time and regather us from the nations. Act for your name's sake, my King. Act for your right hand's sake, my Elohim. Act for your word's sake. Act for your Torah's sake, so that the nations will realize and understand that there's no other God but you. That there's no one greater than Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, the God of creation, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the one that we will bow down to, the God that we will worship is you and you alone. No longer we're going to worship Anat. No longer are we going to worship Easter. No longer do I dare to worship any other gods. We will consecrate our lives, our minds, and our soul to you, that when we present ourselves before you, O my King, in your place in Jerusalem, that we may find favor in your eyes and that you delighting us, then we can become a living sacrifice acceptable to you. My Father, my King, my shield and my strength. Remember, I pray, the covenant of the pieces, and may there be appear before you the binding of your only Son. And may you accept our prayers and supplications and mercy and grace, not because we deserve it, because we don't, but because your word and your oath is everlasting. And everybody who comes to this land and eats of your fruit and declares allegiance to you is another person who will declare the wonderful works of your name and the wonderful works of our Messiah. In the name of Yeshua, I humbly ask you to teach us to return to you. And please forgive us. You have given us the biggest gift, your Torah. And in America, we argue about it and we make creating division. So with that, oh Lord, I'm just going to repeat this Psalm 25. Search our hearts, search our souls, and forgive us. For we recognize our iniquity. To you, oh Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh my Elohim, I trust in you. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait on you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me know your ways, O Adonai. Teach me your path and lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the Elohim of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O my Master, good and upright is my Master. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble his ways. All the path of my Master are steadfast and faithfulness to those who keep his covenants and his testimony. For your sakes, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. Amen?